Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think, and this is something that you have done beautifully, like, it's all about connecting with your community.
Exactly.
And really understanding and hearing them and listening to them and giving them just more of what they want. So it's great.
Earlier this week, I attended the Council of Fashion Designers of America Awards, called the CFDA. And there I met the young, very hardworking creator of Half-Baked Harvest, the popular food blog and website, Tegan Girard. We were on the floor, right?
Yes, we were on the floor.
And we were on the floor where all the tables were set for the 450 guests, everybody buzzing around, looking at each other and taking photographs. And I immediately recognized Tegan, and I think she recognized me.
Oh, I certainly did.
Having just read that big article in the New York Times, I was so happy to see you in person.
Aww, thank
and
you.
To invite you, because Tegan lives in Colorado in the snowy mountains, and she's not always in New York and not always available to talk. So I just thought it was opportune if you were going to be around long enough to come in.
Yeah.
And so we talked about building a business in the world of food and media. So welcome to my podcast.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Well, it's really a delight. And I was not following you, by the way, on Instagram. But I knew about you, and everybody who works for me follows you.
Aww.
And Tegan has, I think, 5.6 or 5.4
million, 5.4
million
yes.
followers on Instagram, and many, many, many more fans than that. And she writes a blog. She has three gorgeous cookbooks published by my publisher, Clarkson Potter.
Yeah,
I've been publishing with Clarkson Potter since 1982. When did you write your first book?
It was 2017, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, they've been, you know, the first one wasn't as popular as... But they've gotten more popular, which is unheard of for cookbooks.
No, it's not, because you're in a different time.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you're in a different time. You are in the time of social media, which you understand extremely well, obviously, with your TikToks and your Instagrams and all the other fantastic social media that you create. Books become more popular as you become more popular.
Well, right.
Really. Really and truly. And when I wrote my first book in 1982, there was no social media.
Someone said you have, it was like 100?
I'm working on my 100th book now.
I cannot
so
imagine.
This is for you a good inspiration, I hope.
I'm working on my fourth, and it's hard. It's a lot. Those books are so much work, Martha.
Tell me about it. We just finished the last day of photography on the 100th book last week.
Well, that's the fun part.
Oh, we had 2 days. And we had to do something like 12 different recipes and difficult recipes. And boy, oh boy, the days were like 12 hours.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was pretty tired at the end of the 2 days. And it was in my home kitchen, so it's like invasive.
Uh-huh.
But I love the people I'm working with. So, and the pictures are utterly beautiful. So it's just 100 of my favorite recipes.
Love that.
In celebration of creating 100 books.
That's amazing. Yeah, so congratulations.
You're going to like it. What's your deadline on the new one?
I'm up against it right now. Much. It should be in, to be very honest with you.
One is called...
One is the original, just Half-Baked Harvest. Okay. And then we have Half-Baked Harvest Super Simple, and then Half-Baked Harvest Every Day.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big, like, theme. Just like to create recipes that people really like to make and enjoy and eat.
Right. So you've had phenomenal success with Half-Baked Harvest, your brand and your work. Tell us a little bit about where your company started and when and where you're going.
Yeah. So we are going on 11 years. I started after I had just turned 19. I was kind of in a place, I had graduated early from high school with an associate's degree.
What does associates mean?
It means 2 years of college, basically. So I took college courses through the local community college while I was in high school for both high school and college credit.
Okay.
I was not a big schoolgirl. I don't do well in a classroom setting. So I really wanted to like get through it. And I always said I've always been a very creative person, really love to use my hands, like put things together, make things beautiful. I always said I was going to go into fashion. I wanted to be a stylist. That's really what I wanted to do.
Well, that's why you were at the CFDA Awards.
I felt very honored and lucky to get to be there.
Who's your favorite designer?
Yes. Well, I love Kate. I love anything. I'm wearing a Kate sweater right now. So,
well, keep going on your story. I want to
continue. Oh, so yeah, I had moved to LA. I was going to go to school out there. I had been accepted to the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. I got a job right away. I was working the phones at Barbizon, acting, modeling, and talent, being a little call girl. And you know what? LA, 3 months in LA, and I said, no, LA is not for me. I can't do this. Definitely had a little
bit of driving in the traffic.
Oh my God, the traffic, all of it. It's at 18 years old. It is, I wasn't ready for it.
And you were by yourself?
I was by myself.
Where were you living?
I was living in West Hollywood. So not the, like,
in your own apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty hard on an 18-year-old.
Well, you know, especially for someone who, this was my first time away from home. So I was just a deer in headlights, basically. And so I came home and it's a very expensive school to attend, you know, very expensive the tuition. I didn't want to start and then have a freak out and then not be able to finish and then, you know, waste all of that money. I'm from a family of eight. Or I have eight kids. I'm one of eight kids. So, you know.
You're a family of 10.
Yeah.
you have to include mom and dad.
It's too much. It's too much. But so that is when I came home and I was, you know, feeling very lost. Like, what do I do? And I am not the type of person that is going to sit and sit still. And it was really my mom. I had started cooking for my family when I was in probably like sixth or seventh grade. Really just out of a necessity to get dinner on the table at like more of a normal hour. We would eat at 9:30, very
at
late.
Night? Oh my goodness.
My dad, you know, worked 9 to 5 and then he would go to the gym afterwards and he was the cook of the family and my mom was the baker. She just, we would have chocolate chip cookies ready to go before dinner was a thought. So I started cooking and I just started, you know, like cooking the things that we had in our house. And when I started, I never stopped. I loved to be creative with recipes in that way because I wasn't able to drive myself to the grocery store. So I was just using what we had in the refrigerator, what we had in the pantry, which was not fancy ingredients by any means. Right. And so I just never stopped and I did it.
But was your mom an organized homemaker? I mean, eight kids is a lot of kids.
My mom's incredible, but she is a chaos. And she loves the chaos. She's incredible. She's very organized.
So who did the shopping?
She did. Oh. And she was so organized.
And how far, living up in the mountains.
No, so I'm from Cleveland originally. So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, okay. You're still in Ohio.
Yes. And my mom was actually very organized about her shopping. Her and my dad would have a date night every week and they would go to our local grocery store. It was called Mark's and it was like the discount grocery store. And they would get everything for the week, all of the staples. And my mom would stock up. Like she had backups for her backup. So she never ran out of like her chocolate chips. She's very important about her chocolate chips. So she was very organized in that way. But yeah, my mom loves a full house. She really loves her kids to be around her. She loves all of her family to be around her. And
so in the lineup of eight, Where are you?
Number four.
You're number four.
I'm very in the middle.
Okay. Yes. And the three older ones are?
Boys. And they are, our age range is 38 years old to three.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Three is the youngest. My parents adopted a little guy about 3 years ago. My parents got married at, my mom was 19 and my dad was like 22, I think. So they've been together for ever.
A long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Since my mom was 16.
So you're cooking now for the family.
Yes.
And when did you get the bright idea that you should start?
It wasn't my idea. It was my mother's bright idea.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. She said, why don't you? My mom's a very in the now type of woman. You know, she was a very tech savvy back then. And this is back in 2012. Like, you know, blogs were really just becoming a thing. Instagram, believe it or not, wasn't even a thing.
Right. Oh, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't a thing, really. It was just getting going. Twitter was more of the thing back then. So she was like, I have been like reading a few food blogs, probably for like recipes, like just to get some recipe inspiration, because food blogs were kind of becoming like a thing.
Did she read my blog?
I don't know what I read back then. I did, you know, like a little bit of Rachel Ray and all the food, you know, all the Food Network people. So yeah, I did it all.
We're still doing our blog
you guys have an incredible website.
Oh yeah. And I love my blog because it's like a magazine article every day.
Yeah.
And it really does involve what we do each and every day on the farm. And yours is
beautiful.
Yours is like that too, though. The way you write is very evocative and very personal. And people like that. They like to get into your lifestyle.
Yeah,
You have found that out very nicely.
You know, I think, and this is something that you have done beautifully, like it's all about connecting with your community.
Exactly.
And really understanding and hearing them and listening to them and giving them just more of what they want and making them feel like you're your friend. And like I do, I feel like I have a very large friend group online, you know,
right.
So it's great.
So who is your audience and what is your reach?
Yeah. We have an incredible audience range where we actually have, you know, an age range from, say, well, we have lots of kids, too, that read the site, which is crazy. And I have moms and dads that come up to me and say, my daughter watches your stories every single morning. She just loves you. And it's like, it melts my heart. But it's about, like, you know, it's like 22 to, the biggest age range is that, like, 22 to, like, 36 realm. But we have 18-year-olds, we have young college kids, you know, all the way up to 67. I mean, like, our age range is very large. But our biggest demographic is probably that 22, 26 to 36-year-old. Young families, you know, people just starting out, graduating college, that type of.
Right.
Yeah.
So what differentiates you from your other colleagues in this area, do you think?
You know, I always.
There are a lot of food people out there.
There's a lot of food people out there. Always really approached everything with my own eye, like my own twist. So I think something that I do very unique is that, yeah, recipes, you know, they can all look very similar. There's only so much you can do with, you know, this and that. But what I love to do with recipes is take them and say, well, what could be different about this? What can I make that makes this feel really special or really delicious? And I sort of do that in a visual way because I'm unique in the fact that I not only develop the recipe, but I style the recipe and photograph the recipe. And now so much video content, I do all the video content for it. I do it all and I look at it as in a 360 way like that. I actually start with the visual piece because I am so visual. I love to build a mood. I love to build the mood. And like with holiday recipes, like we want to have a pop of color. We want them to be delicious. So maybe we're adding some pomegranates to our salad or whatever. There's always something about my recipes that, you know, there's like a Tegan specialness to it because I really love to make them look beautiful, just as beautiful as they're going to taste. So I do that visually and by adding things like, yeah, like a pop of pomegranate or crispy prosciutto.
So talk about pomegranate for 1 second. How do you extract the seeds from a pomegranate?
I've tried every trick in the book.
And?
The whacking it on the back of the pomegranate doesn't work for me with like the back of a wooden spoon. Have you seen that one?
Oh, that's my favorite.
Really? It doesn't work.
Oh, it does. You have to cut the pomegranate correctly to make it work.
How are you cutting yours?
Okay, so you take off just the very top.
Uh-huh.
And you take off the very bottom, that funny little thing that sticks out.
Yeah.
Just without cutting through any seeds, just take that out. Then with the tip of your knife, you score it into quarters.
Right.
Then you break the quarters apart. Mm-hmm. And then you hold the cut side down, the flesh and the seeds in the palm of your hand. And then you do take the back of a large wooden spoon over a bowl and you keep pounding that quarter of the pomegranate. Okay. Every single seed comes out perfect and perfectly into the bowl.
We're going to try this.
Oh, no, it works.
Okay.
It works. I'm going to do it. I'm going home and I'm going to do another video because if you haven't seen that.
Well, I've seen it.
But they're doing it wrong. Some people cut it wrong.
Well, if Martha says that, then
if you cut it into quarters, it really works.
Yeah, I've seen it only done in half.
Oh, yeah. See, that's much harder. And you have little tiny hands. Tegan, by the way, is a slight girl. And, you know, you have to have brute strength with if you take a half.
Oh, you'd be surprised at things I can do.
No, I'm sure you're strong. But a half is hard. So that's why I cut it into quarters.
Okay.
And it really works.
I'm going to give this a try because I just cut it. I also cut it into quarters. I cut it the same way you cut it, but I just sit there and pop them all out. Sometimes I'll put it in water, but I don't.
But why water? See, I don't understand the water thing.
It saves them from popping.
Well, mine never pop.
Well, I'm going to give your method a try.
And I eat a pomegranate a day during season. Oh, I just ate a pomegranate this morning.
I love pomegranates.
Oh, it's so full of antioxidants and potassium and all the good things that one needs. It's so good for you.
And they're absolutely delicious.
Oh, they are. They're so good. I don't eat the seeds, though. I just chew them, and then I spit the pulp out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, don't eat the seeds. You don't have to.
That sounds like a pain.
No, it's so good.
Okay.
And I once
Why don't you just drink the pomegranate juice, then?
How am I going to get the juice?
Well, you can buy it at the grocery store.
That's not the same as eating a fresh pomegranate.
Well, I've never spit the seeds out. That sounds like a hassle.
Oh, it's so much tastier just to chew the seeds and get all that delicious juice and then spit out the seeds. And I get all my pomegranates from Palm Wonderful. Do you know Palm Wonderful?
I do. They are the best.
And I love looking at Instagram for hacks, like how to get the seeds
TikTok's
out of the pomegranate.
I think TikTok's better than that, actually. Are you on TikTok? You're on TikTok.
Of course. I'm on TikTok.
I think TikTok's better with the hacks.
What's your favorite Instagram site besides your own?
I'm not a scroller. I don't scroll.
No, but you must have somebody that you like.
I follow like my family. I follow Lauren Bostic, Skinny Confidential.
Yep.
I think that they are incredible with their businesses. I love getting business. I love listening to their podcast.
Yep.
I think that she's amazing. And so is Michael. Love them. Oh, I follow a lot of podcasts. I like Marianna Hewitt. I think she's incredible. Her and Summer Fridays. I don't know if you're familiar with Summer Fridays, but incredible brands. I love following people that have built their own brands and have also built their own product. You know, we're really working on product right now. So it's love to learn about business. I really love to learn about
business. Well, good. That's the next step in building your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to get into the New York Times article, which was so
fun.
Yeah. And they published a story by Julia Moskin, mm-hmm. a big story about you, and which really brought you probably even more followers. And did it?
You know, I don't quite know. It's definitely being talked about. I don't know.
But for the most part, it was a flattering article about your ability to attract people who are interested in food, who are looking for everyday kinds of recipes. Mm-hmm. And then she had her stuff to say. Yeah. But I lived through that. You'll come across that during your career. And you just have to, you know, just kind of ignore it.
Honestly, that's okay. What I do.
Good.
It was very disappointing that a New York Times journalist...
Did she come to interview you?
She came into my home. It's been a year-long process.
For that article?
I had a two-hour meeting with her in December, and she came into my home in September and did more of an interview. And then the article came out, and it was a little bit
and
surprising.
And waited that long.
Very surprising that a New York Times journalist would be quoting Reddit. Don't see that as very professional at all. But, you know, like you said, it's definitely highlighted the business. And I think a lot of people have seen the negativity that was said and how it was very unfairly said and a little childish. So, and not something you would think of a New York Times journalist. You know what? No, New York Times shouldn't be crediting Reddit, let's be honest.
You know, everybody is looking for readers and everybody is looking for a sensation.
That's what I say.
And everybody is looking
for the edge. The title was very like, it was clickbait. So
I don't even remember.
It was half-baked harvest and controversy.
So
it was very much clickbait.
Well, that didn't make me read it. What made me read it was about a young woman who's entrepreneurial and really being very successful in the food world.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, I have a lot of people that I've been lucky enough to meet and connect with. But you know what? I'm not upset that I did it. I think it highlights, like you said, it highlights the business. Maybe I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I don't know. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have seen overnight success with TikTok and things like that. And it's been 11 years. So it's been a slow, steady build.
No, it really has. And it's been, and you work very hard, obviously. So you, like I, have never had formal culinary training.
No, and I think that's been something that has been to my favor because I just do not look at things with a set of rules. I just do what sounds delicious to me, what I think will look pretty, what I think my audience will really enjoy. I'm not afraid to pair cheese with fish, you know, all of the things.
Well, that's good. And so you've developed your own personal style.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I did too. I never had a cooking lesson, but I read a lot and I'm sure you do. And do you read a lot?
I actually don't read a lot, but I am a podcast girl and I love to listen to podcasts because reading is something that I'm very slow at and it's very tricky for me.
No.
And I lose my concentration.
But which podcast are you listening to about food?
Oh, I don't listen to a podcast.
Oh, you don't?
Food.
Okay.
No, so, I listen to like business podcasts.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You learn a lot. So what's your process for developing a new recipe?
So I kind of, like I said, I sort of work backwards. I kind of start with, for instance, like easy Thanksgiving entertaining recipes.
Right.
So I know people need ease and I know people want it to look beautiful and I know they probably want to make it ahead. So I kind of start with that and what recipes are great for that. And then I think about, well, how can I make that baked brie a little bit different and a little bit more pretty? And something that's exciting, like a fresher way to serve it, you know?
So tell me.
So can I do it with like crispy prosciutto, wrapped in crispy prosciutto? A lot of people will do bacon, but like I'm very into using prosciutto right now.
Where do you get your prosciutto?
Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
We don't have specialty grocery stores where I am, so it's Whole Foods.
So you're using grocery store ingredients.
Absolutely.
In all your recipes.
All of my recipes.
So it's very accessible.
Very accessible. Which I think has been really, really helpful for people. And I always like to give substitutions. If they don't use red wine within their cooking, try using pomegranate juice. you know, there's a lot of that now, especially with alcohol, people not using
it. But you're not a vegetarian?
No.
No, okay.
You eat meat? We're in a red meat phase. I'm excited about cooking with more red meat. My brothers are very happy about that, too.
Oh, can I say about your one brother? Is it Red?
Oh, Redmond, of course.
Yeah, Redmond is
a... We love to talk about Red.
Olympic snowboarder, gold medalist.
Yes, yes.
And what year was that?
Oh my! It was the South Korea one.
Exciting!
Yeah, the whole family went. It was incredible. I hope you were there. Yes, it was. It was. He was like 18 or 17 at the time, so he was a little thing. But he's a very talented snowboarder, and yeah, he took home gold that year.
Oh boy, it was so very exciting. Amazing! Yeah. Yes, I'm friends with Sean White. He's such an incredible athlete, and I had him on my show a long time ago when he was at the height of his.
Sean's done incredible things.
And now he has a wonderful business with snowboards and snowboarding clothing.
I know.
And he's an incredible entrepreneur.
I always tell Red, you need to follow Sean's route because he's doing it right.
Yeah, he is.
Building a business
and staying in shape and being an educator to the youth who love to get out on those slopes.
Yes.
Are you a skier?
I can get down that hill on a snowboard, yes, but okay. I am nothing like Red.
Oh.
So, no.
So you're all snowboarders in the family?
We all snowboard. We all started on skis. The first four started on skis, and then after that, I was snowboarding straight. Oh. So
My grandchildren, I have two, 11 and 12, they are skiers.
Okay.
And they are going to Hokkaido to ski. They can't wait because they love Japanese food and they think that they're going to have a great time in Hokkaido.
Japan is Red's favorite place. Oh.
I'm sure he skied where they're going to be skiing.
Oh,
and
I'm
Nagano,
sure.
And I went to Nagano for the Olympics.
Yeah.
For the Winter Olympics.
Cool.
That was incredible.
Well, the next ones are in Milan. So I'm like, yes. Red, you better make it to that one.
Okay.
We want to go to Milan.
Oh, yes. It's going to be beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
What are those on the cover?
Those are pierogi. I love a pierogi.
Are you Polish in any way?
No, but I'm from Cleveland. So it's a large, there's a large Polish community.
I'm Polish.
Are you?
And one of my favorite 100 recipes is my mother's potato pierogi.
The potato pierogi is my
favorite. Is this potato?
This is sweet potato.
Oh, sweet potato.
Yes.
Okay, so you've changed the recipe.
A little bit, switched it up a little bit, which—
And?
It's so delicious.
What's the dough?
I do Greek yogurt. I think sour cream is traditional. The dough is so simple. It's like Greek yogurt, a couple cups of flour, and maybe an egg, I think, and then like a pinch of salt. You mix it all together, and that you
soft
let it sit 30
soft,
minutes.
Yeah, soft and fluffy.
Yeah, you let it sit 30 minutes. And how do you make
good.
Yours?
Well, I'm gonna check yours out.
Well, I hope you enjoy. Try the sweet potato filling one time.
I will. I like cabbage.
Oh, see,
not sauerkraut.
So I've never done that. Like I grew up. I unfortunately just grew up with Mrs. T's. But my favorite were the potato cheddar.
Yeah.
So my mom and I would do it after school all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like the sweet cabbage. So you steam the cabbage.
Uh-huh.
Then you have to squeeze all the moisture out of the cabbage.
Gee, it sounds like a lot of work.
And then you have to grind the cabbage.
Oh, wow.
And mix it with cream cheese and butter.
Okay.
And pepper.
Well, I love cream cheese, butter, and pepper.
Oh, you would love that filling.
Okay.
It's not easy, but it is.
What if you did like Brussels sprouts instead of the cabbage?
I don't know.
Is that too? Because I always think of cabbage as similar to a Brussels sprout.
They're all of the same family, but try it.
Traditional is meat. I thought you do a
pierogi. Is pierogi is generally either like sauerkraut, potato, or you could do meat.
I've never seen a lot of meat ones.
We have never made meat.
Okay.
Not in our family, but
I'm fond of the potato.
Yeah, me too.
It's so
I
delicious.
Love it. And it's so good. Yeah, I like them reheated in butter, just in a pan.
Oh, yeah.
But you boil them, right?
Yeah. So a lot of times, like, I'll just make a huge batch. And it's my brother's favorite when I make homemade pierogi. And I have a huge batch in the freezer.
Everybody wants to be at my house when the pierogi are being made.
Because, you know.
And it's time consuming.
It is.
So you post recipes pretty much daily.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do today?
You know what? Actually, today is a roundup of all of our Thanksgiving recipes that I've shared.
So how are you roasting your turkey this year?
Okay, so I have—
This is what I want to hear.
Now I'm afraid. Have you ever roasted your turkey with cheesecloth soaked in butter?
I think we invented that recipe.
Oh.
I think that's the Martha Stewart.
Are you sure?
Oh, positive.
I thought I invented it.
No, darling.
Okay.
No, that's been in our magazine. It's called Roast Turkey 101.
Okay, well, so
and white wine and butter.
I do chicken broth, but white wine would be so much better. Always butter.
Try it with white wine and butter, And the cheesecloth is draped over the roast, the bird.
It's a secret.
What?
I think it's a secret to making a perfect turkey.
Oh, no, I have a new one this year.
Oh, boy.
I have a new one. Okay. Even better.
Okay, what is it?
And easier.
Oh, what is it? Nothing's easier than this
easier,
turkey.
It's a parchment-wrapped turkey. You butter the whole bird.
Okay.
After you stuff it, butter it with soft butter all over it. Well, I do. Oh, I love stuffing cooked
but
in the bird.
It cooks unevenly.
Oh, no, it cooks perfectly.
Okay, well.
And then you wrap the bird in big sheets of parchment. But you have to find the big sheets of parchment.
Sure.
And staple it shut. Staple it shut.
Okay.
And roast it in 2 hours. The bird is almost perfectly cooked. This is for like a 14-pound bird.
Okay.
Two hours and a half. Uncover it. And then the skin crisps like a Peking duck.
All right. Well,
No basting.
I don't baste my turkey either.
Well, no, in the cheesecloth, you have to baste it all the time.
I didn't baste mine. It works perfect.
Oh, no, you still have to. You should baste it. It's even better.
How much butter do you soak yours in?
Well, we use usually, if the cheesecloth, probably about maybe 4 or 5 sticks of butter.
Oh, my gosh.
And a whole bottle of wine.
Wow, I'm only doing a stick of butter. I need to just look your recipe
up. Look up my recipe. It's delish.
Maybe I need to try the parchment.
What are your sides for Thanksgiving? I want to hear the sides.
I love a traditional Thanksgiving, but like I do crispy stacked potatoes. I think this year I did.
Oh, I saw that recipe.
So
are those good?
So delicious.
Oh, good. Okay.
So
I haven't tasted those.
I love to do a croissant stuffing. I think it's really yummy to like switch up the bread.
Oh,
this
year
I'm doing a wild rice and kale casserole dish with like caramelized onions on top
that
get crispy.
Good. That sounds good.
I'm going to do some scalloped sweet potatoes. I always rolls. We're going to do popovers because the popovers are my mom's favorite.
So good.
So
what do you
easy.
Cook them in?
I cook them in a popover pan.
Popover, yeah.
Yeah, I have a metal one
I just
that
saw
I've
them
had
cooked,
forever.
I saw them cooked in coffee mugs recently.
I've done that too.
And they look so good. I've never done that.
Sometimes you got to improvise and use what you got, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm the queen of that.
And what kind of pies?
So I am not the biggest pie girl. I'm not the biggest pumpkin pie. I don't really enjoy pumpkin pie, neither does my family.
Oh, try my pumpkin phyllo.
Okay. Oh, I saw that in your magazine.
So,
it's gorgeous.
It is so good. We just made that
gorgeous.
For my 100 favorite recipes.
And, did you? Remember when that came out.
Oh, no.
It's
an old recipe.
Right.
But
I remember
it's
thinking
one of my
that's
favorites.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It has star anise and five spice.
I love them.
Five spice in the pumpkin.
You'll notice in a lot of my photos, you'll see a star. I say star anise.
Oh, well, star anise or star anise.
I can't pronounce anything.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
So
you're going to have a nice Thanksgiving. It sounds delicious. Are you going to be home with your family?
Yeah, I'm actually cooking for everyone
this year. Oh, nice.
Yep.
How
They're
nice.
They're all coming to Colorado.
And photograph it. Can you post it?
Well, I mean, it's like the day of.
You don't do that.
So, like, I already posted my Thanksgiving menu. It's on the site right now.
Okay. I will look for it.
I don't think it's as fancy as yours is going to be.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all 6 delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how do you balance your authenticity while following social media trends?
I think you'll notice about my recipes, I don't really follow a ton of trends. I just kind of do what's exciting me at the moment. Yeah. I'm not a trend girl. They come and they go, and a lot of these, I've seen so many trends with TikTok, and I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
Have you ever watched Foodie China 888?
I don't think so.
Do you ever cook Chinese food?
Yeah.
Oh, watch Foodie China 888.
Okay.
It's my favorite Instagram.
Okay.
And it's funny because he says, you now take some water from the Mississippi River.
Oh.
He has a funny little shtick.
Okay.
But the food is delicious.
Oh.
And it's this guy, I've been trying to reach him to do the podcast with me, and I can't find
him. What is it?
Foodie China 888.
But
it's like yours. Yours is fun, too. It's fun to watch.
People put a lot of pressure around cooking, and it doesn't need to be that way.
How did it work in the beginning? How frequently did you publish a recipe?
So I think that's something that's been really key for building the business is our consistency. I, from day one, for whatever reason, prioritized consistency. And I posted every single day. I was very consistent. Everyone knew I was going to give them a new recipe. And I continued that, and I still continue that today. So I think it's really been keeping up that consistency and building the trust and the loyalty with the community. And like I said, these people really do feel like my friends, and I love to be able to help them get dinner on the table. And during COVID, I saw so many incredible messages, I'm sure you did too, of how my recipes have helped their families, you know?
Oh no, it's really nice to get the feedback.
It really is.
So nice.
When it's nice feedback.
Did your following grow gradually, or did you?
Very gradual, yeah. There wasn't ever like a celebrity shout out or a talk show or a Martha Stewart mention. Like, that wasn't really, it was very slow and steady, which I think is also really key because our community is very loyal. I think it's why our email subscription list is strong. I think it's why our numbers are strong because
Doing with your email list?
We send out a newsletter. Well, you can sign up for however many you want, but we send out a newsletter every single day with the new recipe. We send out a Sunday newsletter that is like a recap of everything, and it includes some of my Sunday favorites that I share. You know, it's what you opt in for.
Well, it's like a magazine subscription. You're doing a very nice thing. Without magazines around any longer, they're just going away quickly.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a newsletter like that.
Yeah, and I think people are enjoying being off of social media a little bit more and kind of viewing the content that they really want to view anyways.
Yes. So when you started out, you were working by yourself, and now you actually have a real organization.
Well, it was always my mom and I. So it was my mom that encouraged me to start the website, and from day one, she built the back end of the website, and she still does the back end of the website. So she manages all the advertisements on the website and, you know, like the nitty gritty things that I would never want to deal with.
Who's your biggest advertiser?
We work with an advertisement company that puts the ads on. We work with this company called AdThrive. Incredible. It's really the reason that's allowed me to not have to work with brands, which I love. Because when you're working with brands in a way where they're paying you and it's sponsored content, you're not able to have control over what you're really sharing. It makes it really difficult. So I like to support the brands that I really enjoy, and I like to do it in an organic way, and I don't really like to be paid for it.
Yeah, that's basically, I want to do it with people I like. I use.
And I think that's also, to another point, why the things that I recommend, they sell. Yeah. And because I don't recommend things that I don't enjoy and don't use.
Well, what's your relationship with Amazon?
We love Amazon. My mom used to be called Amazon Jen because she would order from Amazon so consistently.
I have a friend called Holly. Her name is Holly. Her nickname is Holly Overnightly.
Oh.
instead of Holly Go Lightly, Holly Overnight.
I'm the queen of an overnight ship. I love an overnight shipping. My relationship with Amazon is great. They're incredible. They're really close. They've been especially incredible to work with this last year.
What do you do with them?
I honestly don't do any sponsored content with them. I really just work with them through affiliate links, which I guess is sponsored in a way.
Yeah.
We're talking more right now about bigger picture things of how we can work together. But I've been doing a lot with Amazon Fashion, which is exciting, and trying to integrate the worlds of fashion and food.
So you now have a team of six working with you?
Yes.
And they are very supportive they work how many days a week?
See, that is the thing with owning your own business, and especially a business in social media that is so social media focused, it's really a 7-day work week.
And they don't mind.
We have rotating days. So, but if something is needed on a Saturday, they're not saying no, you know?
Good.
I think
that's how I feel.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's important if you're passionate about the business and helping grow the business.
And a creative business like yours or mine really requires at least the 5-day work week, the way. Yes, indeed.
The whole Thursday is a new Friday thing. I don't know about that one, guys.
Yeah, and here we are on Friday working, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Well, I'm happy to be doing it.
So your family is so supportive. What's next for your brand?
Oh my gosh, so much. We're so excited. We have another cookbook coming that is very exciting. People love to enjoy the cookbooks. Product is a really large focus. I really want to be able to provide people. Honestly, it's a beautiful model what you've created. And you've been able to be in so many different realms under the home house.
Oh yes.
I love that you've touched on fashion. I love that you have tabletop. Tabletop is really where I want to go next, because the community is constantly asking me, where did you get that plate? Where did you get that dish? You know, all of it.
They want to know everything.
So I'd really love to be able to create that product with them. It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah. Well, good luck with all of that.
Thank you.
That's so great.
So we're excited.
So, Tegan, this has been a great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank
you. You are vivacious, as I expected.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for joining me on the podcast. You can follow at Half Baked Harvest on Instagram, on TikTok, and on her website, halfbaked.com. Thank you again so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was amazing.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.